I'm going to read Psalm 148. Psalm 148. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights above. Praise Him all His angels. Praise Him all His heavenly hosts. Praise Him sun and moon. Praise Him all you shining stars. Praise Him you highest heavens and you waters above the skies. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded and they were created. He set them in place forever and ever. He gave a decree that will never pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures in all ocean depths, lightning and hail, snow and clouds, stormy winds that do His bidding. You mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and all cattle, small creatures and flying birds, kings of the earth and all the nations, you princes and all rulers on earth. Young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is exalted. His splendor is above the earth and the heavens. He has raised up for His people a horn, the praise of all His saints of Israel, the people close to His heart. Praise the Lord. Amen. You can be seated. Share with you on last week that the past 2 months we have been in a series with a global title called On Becoming an E-Church. And I've broken that down into three legs. The first leg, if you recall, in the month of September, we talked about on becoming an equipping church. And we talked about spiritual gifts. And we talked about how everyone here is gifted somehow. Everyone here has a gift. And it's our commitment as a church to help you discover and find out what your gifts are and to then put those gifts to work in this body. And we're going to do that. I want you to stay tuned for more information regarding how you can discover what your spiritual gifts are. The second leg, if you recall, was on becoming an evangelistic church. And we shared passages and focus a lot on the ministry of Paul, who was an evangelist and who had much to say about evangelism. And we talked about how we should be motivated in evangelism and our message in evangelism, which should be Jesus Christ. And last week we talked about going to those who might not be like us and how Paul said he became a Jew to the Jews and a Gentile to the Gentiles so that he might win some. The third leg that we begin today is on becoming an energy church. A little more than 10 years ago, someone invented a product that was going to replace a product that we had been using all along and that many of us still use. You know, it was a time ago, and I would suspect still now, that in the morning when you just needed that boost, you do what? You make you a hot cup of a coffee, right? And the caffeine, I guess, in the coffee would give you sort of a boost. Well, a little over 10 years ago, this guy discovered this ingredient and decided to make a drink involving this ingredient to help him deal with jet lag. Well, 11 years later, the energy drink industry has now blown up into a multi-billion-dollar-a-year industry. A multi-billion dollar industry approaching nearly $1 trillion a year in sales on energy drink. Red Bull was probably the first famous one. But if you go to the store now, you know, you got your Coke and your Pepsi, and then you have two, you know, coolers full of energy drinks, Red Bull and Amp. And what's that Java coffee one? I know, Joel, you drink that, and Amy. What's that coffee big? It's like a gallon size aluminum can, and it's coffee and energy. And you drink that, and the kids, if you see them, they're always drinking the Sobe energy. I saw some interesting names for some of these drinks. There's one energy drink that's been banned in USA, and thank God, called cocaine. There's another energy drink called, get this, fellas, pimp juice. Now, I don't know how that connects with energy, but it's out there. Not everyone digs coffee or the taste of coffee, but the appeal of Red Bull to both old and young has yielded extremely successful results in an effort to boost energy. We want energy and we need energy, and we are undisciplined to do the things for our bodies for increased energy.
Like?
Getting enough sleep. I mean, how many of us here averages 8 hours of sleep a night? Four people. And one with a child. That is, that's amazing. Yeah. How did you do that? Eating better. You know, there are foods that we should be eating that will help us increase and make enough energy for us, but we don't eat the right foods and we don't exercise. Likewise, church, in the church, there is a strong and necessary desire to have more energy or a renewed energy. Here is the good news. The church can be energized. Now, here's the bad news. It won't take an energy drink or an energy pill. You know, we're not going to put a special, I don't know, potion or ingredient in the communion juice. And, you know, after communion, we're really going to set it off. Here's the good news. We can become an energized church. And here is more good news. We are reminded time and time again that one of the ways to be energized as a people of God, is through praise and worship. And we are blessed to have a collection of writings that flow out of the experience of God's people who love to give God praise and worship. In the midst of the community, while they're by themselves in their family, they love to give God praise and worship. And some of these writings we find in our collection in the Psalms. We read one psalm today by an unnamed author, Psalm 148. And it only represents one such reflection, as the psalmist imagines the immeasurable and limitless range of the worship experience. In this author's worship experience, imagine the heavens are involved, the earth is involved, the sun and the moon are involved, the skies and the waters are involved, the sea creatures and the birds are involved, the snow and storms are involved, the kings and princes are involved, the old men and the young men are involved, children are involved, women are involved, and this all-inclusive experience has come together in cosmic unity to give praise to the Lord God Almighty. And it's because of who God is. The psalmist just assumes that all that has life and breath ought to give God praise. And yet, Psalm 148 only represents one such vision of the energy that is generated through worship. David declared in Psalm 122 in verse 1, "I rejoice with those who said to me, 'Let us go to the house of the Lord.'" There's something about going to the house of the Lord for the purpose of worship that causes rejoicing. It causes joy. It generates energy. Well, how about Psalm 84? Psalm 84. "How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar. O Lord Almighty, my King and my God, blessed are those who dwell in the house. They are ever praising you." Verse 10, "Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked." Better is one day, oh, at your house, oh God, than a thousand at the most explicit or exquisite places that we could go to. I'd rather be a doormat where people can step on me at the house of God than to sit at the seat of honor in the place of the wicked. There's something about praise and worship at the house of God that generates energy. What about Psalm 47? This cry that says, "Clap your hands, all you nations, shout to God with cries of joy. How awesome is the Lord Most High, the great King over all the earth. He subdued nations under us, peoples under our feet. He chose our inheritance for us, the pride of Jacob, whom he loved. God has ascended amid shouts of joy, the Lord amid the sounding of trumpets. Sing praises to God, sing praises to our King, sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing to him a psalm of praise. God reigns over the nations. God is seated on his holy throne. The nobles of the nations assemble as the people of God of Abraham. For the kings of earth belong to God. He is greatly exalted. But what about Psalm 63? Another psalm of David. O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and glory, because your love is better than life. My lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with the richest of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. Church, we make a grave mistake when we relegate worship to some simple act of duty or obligation. In fact, we rob the energizing nature of praise and worship when we do so. Praise and worship isn't just something we have to do. It's something we get to do. Praise and worship isn't something that we need, just something we need to do. It's something that we should want to do. And no matter how much the daily grind has drained us, we find our renewal through our praise to God, and we emerge, church, as an energized people. No matter how down we've become, we find our refreshing through our praise and worship to God, and we emerge as an energized people. We have learned a lot about praise and worship, and we have to know this, that no matter how much we've been outdone in this world, we find our retreat in our praise to God, and we can emerge as an energized people. As we continue to learn and embrace more about worship, a more open spirit to praise and worship, I pray and thank God that we have come to a place where praise and worship isn't just a time clock. Come here, punch my time clock, and get my time in and get out. But we are stuck to understand that praise and worship to God is much more. It's an experience. An experience with the living God. An experience with the powerful presence of His Holy Spirit in our midst. I thank God that we've embraced more freedom in worship. But all of this freedom and open spirit becomes null and void if we treat our praise and worship as just another legalistic requirement. Church, sometimes I have to temper my excitement for worship. I just love to praise and worship. I love singing praises. I love clapping my hands and raising my hands to God. I love being with God's people and shouting praises to God. I want the world to know that this community that I hold dear in my heart is a church that loves to praise God. I want this world and community to know that they might outgain us, they might outstrategize us, they might outnumber us, but in no way will they outpraise us. I want the world to see God living in us, and that because He lives in us, we are an energized people. And praise and worship doesn't get old. Psalm 33 verses 1 through 3 says, "Sing joyfully to the Lord, you righteous. It is fitting for the upright to praise Him. Praise the Lord with the harp. Make music to Him on the 10-string lyre. Sing to Him a new song. Play skillfully and shout for joy." Psalm 40, "I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. And Psalm 96, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise His name. Proclaim His salvation day after day. Declare His glory among the nations, His marvelous deeds among all peoples. In this life, in the life of a disciple, praise and worship doesn't get old, because our great God provides more than enough reasons for us to sing a new song every day. We respond with a new song to a God whose mercies are new every morning. As we journey, we will give praise and worship to God who is in the business of working the wonderful every day. I mean, let us take our collective experiences and reflect for a moment. For me, it was at age 13 when I was baptized into Jesus Christ, saying yes to Jesus. And yes, that day I sang a new song. Then at age 21, while I was at college, meeting some new friends and rediscovering what it meant to have a life with Jesus. And I remember that day I sang a new song. At age 25, I remember saying, I do. I remember saying, I do to the woman I love, the love of my life. And I was so glad she said, I do back. And that day, church, I sang a new song. Or at age 26, at the birth of my first daughter, Caitlin, as they pulled her out, wiped her off, and I heard her cry, heard her exercise in her lungs. Oh, church, that day, I sang a new song. 4 years later, at the birth of my second daughter, Kira, oh, how excited I was to have two beautiful girls. And that day, I sang a new song. A couple years later, through the tragedy of witnessing my wife suffer a dark period of having 2-3 consecutive miscarriages, and watching how this body here embraced us and loved us and cried with us and prayed for us. During that period, church, I sang a new song. It was just a couple months ago, a month and a half ago, where my wife went through another dark period. Debilitating sickness that had us worried, that had us scared. Again, I saw a church family that embraced us, that hugged us, that cried with us, that cooked us food, that gave us money to go on a trip. And I'm here to tell you, as I look at my wife smiling, and as I look at my wife singing these songs, and as I look at my wife raising her hands in praise and worship, church, I got a new song. Do I need to go there? Do I need to look in the back and see a woman who we saw laying in a bed thinking that she would never walk back in this church building? And here she is in the back praising God. And I don't have to tell you that Gloria has got a new song to sing. I don't know what God is doing in your life, but when you look at what God is doing in your life, as we look at the collective experience of God's people, when you look at the wonderful that He's doing every day in your life, we all can stand up and say, you know what? Last year it was this, but this year it's this, and I have a new song. Oh, and when we sing this new song, when the words come from our lips, when the words come out of the depths of our heart, what the world will see is an energized people. So I'm here to tell you that we can be energized through our praise and worship. Praise and worship just doesn't get old for me. And with that comes a commitment from me and from the Praise and Worship Ministry to provide celebrations that are engaging and representative of our joy and excitement to be worshiping God. It is also the commitment of the Praise and Worship Ministry to provide more opportunities for praise and worship. Sunday morning might be enough for some, And we are always looking for ways to expand opportunities for more praise and worship. Tonight, at 6 o'clock, there's an opportunity if you want to be a part of that to come here and sing some songs with others. You don't have to wait for the praise and worship ministry. There are no rules stopping you from having some people in your living room and having some praise and worship. In fact, when we look again at our collective experiences, think back to the most memorable time of praise and worship. For many of us, it didn't take place here. For me, it took place about 7 years ago at a camp. We were having a retreat. I was working at a church in Michigan. We had a retreat and we had a 8 o'clock, you know, little service, and we did some singing, and then the guy spoke. And all that concluded at around 9:30 or 10. And we sat there, about 60 kids, about 10, 15 adults. And we just started singing. And at 3:30 in the morning, we said, okay, y'all got to go to bed. From 10 o'clock to 3:30 in the morning, I watched young kids cry their hearts out to God in worship. Nothing stopping you from having like experiences. There's nothing stopping you from saying, listen, come over to my house. We're just going to sing and praise God. There are no rules. With freedom, you have rights, and you are encouraged to take advantage of those rights. Nothing and no one will stop you from getting together and worshiping together. Pray that we will come and allow ourselves to be energized through praise and worship. Let us not neglect this gift and the power that we have to sing songs, to pray to God, to get on your knees, to fall flat on your face and worship God. It's one of the greatest gifts that God has given us, the ability to come together as community and to sing His praises. They might outnumber us, they might outstrategize us, but the world cannot outpraise us. And what the world must see, what the world must see, is that we are an energized people. What the world must see is that we serve a God whose mercies are new every morning. Therefore, we can sing a new song every day. This is my prayer, and this is my hope. Let's pray. God, we pray that the songs that we utter to you this day would be a reflection of our gratitude, of our thankfulness, of our love for you, God. God, we are thankful for the new song that you have put in our lives every day. And Father, we commit to singing a new song. We commit to being energized through our praise and worship. Father, forgive us for making the worship event some time clock obligation. Father, we repent of that attitude. And Father, I pray that we would have the like spirit of David, who says, I was glad, exceedingly glad. I rejoiced when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. May we embody that spirit. May we embody the spirit of the psalmist who says, it's better to spend one day at your house than 10,000 in the place of the wicked. May we come with shouts of joy. May we clap our hands, raise our hands to you, because only you are worthy. Father, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. It is my hope that you look forward to worship, that you look forward to giving God praise every day, but especially when we come together, because these are unique and special time when we all come together and join in perfect harmony to give our praise to God. Amen.